Well, thank you for singing this morning, and kids, you are dismissed to go to your class, and for the rest of you, if you would take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, we are going to be looking at verses 17 through 24 this morning. And last week, if you were with us in our study, we looked at the spiritual gifts that have been given to the church by Christ Himself. And if you remember, He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, not to do the work of the ministry, but to equip those saints, you saints, all the saints in Christ for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, the church. And now today in our text, the Apostle Paul, he's going to share with us how we are to live out our lives as believers. In fact, if you remember back from when we began chapter 4, this is exactly how he began back in verse 1 of chapter 4. He encourages us to walk worthy of the calling to which we have been called. He has called us to walk worthy, to live in a way that reflects what we believe. You know, and if you think about this, we can say that we believe everything in this book right here, but if we say what we if we don't live out what we say we believe, we are really living nothing more than like a hypocrite. We may say that we believe in the Word of God, but yet if we don't live out our life on what we say, we are nothing more than a hypocrite. What we believe from God's Word and what we read from God's Word ought to be constantly shaping our lives to becoming more like Christ, right? That is what it means to walk worthy of our calling in which we have been called. So we saw in the opening chapters of Ephesians the transformation that takes place in our lives the moment that we believe. And we literally go from death to life. Our stone-cold, lifeless hearts are exchanged for a new living heart, a heart that can be molded and further transformed into the likeness of Christ as we live our lives for Him. And the Apostle Paul, he wants us to know that after all Christ has done for us, since we have received all of those wonderful spiritual gifts that we looked at early on in this letter, this is how and this is why you are to live your life in a way that is worthy of a calling, the calling that you have been called. So let's look at our text this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, it says this: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's pray this morning before we get into the message. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the guidebook that it is to our lives. Lord, it is biblical information before leaving earth, and we're so thankful for the words of this of your book, what you've inspired. And Lord, we just pray that you would just apply the words that we read this morning, the passage that we go through this morning. I pray that, Lord, that you would just help us to, our hearts to be open to receive what you say in your word. And I pray that, Lord, that you would just help us to be free from any distractions or things that we're going to be doing today. I just pray that, Father, that your word would speak to our hearts this morning. And we thank you and love you in your name. Amen. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul, he begins this passage by transitioning from the topic of walking in unity to walking in holiness. And I want you to look at verses 17 through 18. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul begins this this verse in 17. He says, "This I say therefore," but if you'll notice, he adds, "and testify in the Lord," that is to say that he is speaking in the authority of the Lord, "that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." In other words, for this reason, or because of this, well, because of what? Because of everything that has taken place in our lives, because of the transformation that has taken place in our lives through Christ, Paul says, in the authority of the Lord, we are not to walk or live like the Gentiles. And by Paul telling his readers not to walk as the Gentiles, he is using a Jewish term for unbelievers. Again, Gentiles are simply a group of people who are non-Jewish, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know this to be 100%, but I'm pretty sure that most of us, if not all of us here today, are Gentiles, and unless you have some Jewish blood in you, you are considered a Gentile. And the majority of those who Paul is writing to in Ephesus were Gentiles. Now, that doesn't mean that they were necessarily ungodly people, because remember, he's writing to believers in the church at Ephesus. But the term Gentile came to mean unbeliever. In a Jewish person's mind, the Gentiles were the worst of the worst. They had not received the Word of God. They knew nothing about the law of God. And their lives proved it. You could tell of the way the Gentiles lived. You could prove, it was clearly seen that they were not of God. They basically lived a very secular, immoral lifestyle. And so the term Gentile came to mean unbeliever, or maybe what we would say today, they became very worldly. So Paul says, don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the world. Don't mimic the world. Don't live like unbelievers. And Paul goes on, he even goes on to describe how they used to walk in verse 17. And by the way, this is exactly how we used to walk before we came to know Jesus as our personal Savior. He says, so let's look at it in verse 17. How did they walk? Well, they walked in the futility of their mind. That word futility means pointless or useless. In the Greek, it literally means empty. Unbelievers, they do not typically have a worthy aim or goal in life, which is the idea behind the futility of their minds. They're thinking. Their minds are corrupt because of the sin that indwells them. They invent ways to serve the flesh or the selfish desires of the mind. Their mind invents false gods, false religions, and foolish philosophies, ultimately leading to death. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So the unbeliever has a major problem with his mind, with her mind. It is capable of producing thoughts that are pointless or useless. But look what else. Paul says their understanding is darkened. This means they're living in spiritual darkness. They lack discernment and are unable to distinguish between right and wrong. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us and helps us to discern from what is right and what is wrong. The unbeliever does not have that. Their understanding is darkened. Next, they are alienated from the life of God. Why are they alienated from the life of God? Well, verse 18, the very last part, tells us. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That is to say, they are separated from the new life that comes from God. They are held in the grip of spiritual death. The cause of this separation is twofold. It's the ignorance that is in them, and it's the blindness of the heart. Some of the Bible translations, and maybe yours speaks of this, instead of the blindness of the heart, it speaks of the hardness of heart. And I like that, because when I think of somebody who is an unbeliever, their heart is hard. And when I think of somebody who has a hard heart, I think of a calloused heart. That heart is hard. If you have a callus and you take a needle and you touch that needle to that callus that you have on your heel or on your hand, you won't feel it. Why? Because it's dead skin. And in the same way, the heart of an unbeliever, when we share the gospel with them, they may not be affected by that. They may not listen to that. Why? Because their heart is hard. I think we've all probably maybe witnessed to somebody, maybe somebody in our family, maybe somebody who's out on the street, maybe a coworker, and you begin to you try to share the gospel with them, but you can clearly see that it's like a wall. It's just they have a hard heart. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. But look what else Paul describes, how he describes these unbelievers. They just keep spiraling downward. In verse 19, he says, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Because the lost are dead, they are said to be past feeling. That phrase means that they have lost their sense of pain. It is used in the sense that they are not bothered by their conscience, by the things that they do. They have a conscience, but their conscience has been seared. It's no longer sensitive like our conscience is as a believer. And when they sin, they have no feeling. They have no guilt or they have no shame. And if they have no feeling or guilt or shame, they don't care how the believer views the things that they do. They have no decency. They give themselves over to every kind of impurity. And since they are not satisfied, are never satisfied, they go further and further into their sinful and immoral behavior, just trying to discover pleasure. They literally become out of control as their greedy and idolatrous hearts run wild. Don't we see that today? Don't we see that today? You can turn on the news and you can see and hear about that type of lifestyle. But I want to remind you, who is Paul speaking to? Paul is speaking to believers, and he is warning them not to walk this way. Why? Because it is possible for those of us who have been saved by grace to easily walk right back into the ways of the world instead of walking with Christ. Am I talking about losing salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. But I will say that if we do, if we take our walk down that way of our old path, our old sinful nature, we can easily find our hearts hardened and our eyes will begin to grow blind to our sinful behavior. We will become calloused to guilt and shame and reckless in our actions. And from there, if it's not dealt with, we will just continue down that downward spiral. And that is exactly what Paul is urging us as believers not to do. Do not walk in that way. Do not walk in that way any longer. We walked in that way one time before we were believers. And he's basically saying, don't do it again. Don't do it again. Don't do it anymore. Now, having told us how we should not live, Paul now teaches us how we should live. Look at verses 20 and 21. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And now that verse, those two verses are very difficult to understand. I struggled with that for I don't know how long yesterday, several hours. But I like how it reads in the New International Version. It says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. In contrast to this former way of life, the Ephesian Christians were to live righteous lives. And speaking about all of the things that Paul just said about the unbeliever and how that unbeliever lives, he says to the Ephesian believers, he says, this is not how you learned from Jesus to live. This is not how you were taught to live by Jesus. Your hearts are no longer darkened. You have learned the truth which is to be found in Jesus. So Paul goes on to say in verse 22, he says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That phrase, put off, means to strip away. It is the image of taking clothes off. It's the image of taking an old, dirty, filthy, rotten, corrupt shirt off. The old man was stripped away when we are converted. But sometimes, unfortunately, that old man shows his ugly head. And you know, it doesn't just happen to us. It happened to the Apostle Paul as well. And it says, and I'm going to bring this up, this passage in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, and Paul spoke of that, how sin continues to come back, and he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see the old man, how Paul, he explains that so well, how that old man, that old sinful nature can show its ugly head. And the old nature is corrupt. It's like a corpse rotting in the sun. And it grows more vile and more evil and more wicked every day. And if we're not careful, he will enslave us into the old habits and ways of living the Lord delivered us from when he saved us. This is somewhat of, I was hesitant to share this illustration because it's kind of gross, and I know we're getting ready to eat lunch, I'm sure, when you get home. But it's so applicable. The Romans were known, when somebody murdered somebody, the Romans would take that murderer and they would stake him down to the ground. And then they would place the body of his victim on top of him, face to face, hand to hand, and foot to foot. And as the corpse began to rot, and corruption began to set in, that corruption would eat into that murderer and destroy his life. And the reason I share that is because that is exactly the way flesh operates. Its depravity eats into our lives. And if it's not kept under control or taken care of, it will eventually destroy our lives. And you know, you say, okay, Pastor, will this little sin that I consider a little sin, are you saying that that will eventually corrupt my life and destroy my life? Yeah, it will. It will, because that little sin, if it's not taken care of, if it's not repented of, if it's not taken to the Lord and confessed to Him, that little sin is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to fester. And it's going to continue to destroy your life. And maybe you're here today and you think, well, this little sin that I've been dealing with for so many years, and folks, we've all had them. If we don't get that sin taken care of, it's going to be just like that dead corpse laying down on your body, and it's going to just begin to eat away. The depravity of that dead corpse is going to just begin to eat into our lives, and it will destroy us. Verse 22 says, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As we learned from verse 17, the lost sinner's mind is given over to things that are pointless and useless and empty. But the saints of God, the believers on the other hand, we are given a new mind. We're to have a renewed mind. When the Lord saves us, He made us alive in Christ. And part of that new life involves a renewing of the mind. We are to walk each day having our minds renewed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. in the fact that God literally changed our minds when he saved us, gives us the ability to live different lives from the world around us. The Christian life begins in the mind. When the thinking is changed, the life is changed. Our minds are to be set on things above, not on things of this world. Our lives will follow the direction of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, listen to this, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. If we can get our minds right, our lives will be right as well. If our thinking, if we get rid of our stinking thinking, our minds will be set on the right path. Listen to what else the Bible says about this. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, listen to this, meditate on these things. You know what it says? Think about these things. And the Apostle Paul tells us one last thing that we must do in verse 24. He says, put on the new man. Put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So just as we are to put off the old man, we are to put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And this new man was born in us when we were saved. When he was created, when we were born again, God changed us. He gave us new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And folks, this new creation believes the things of God. This new creation, us, when we have been born again, loves the things of God. This new man, he desires to serve the Lord with all his heart. Now listen, we're not all perfect. There's not one of us who is perfect. Every one of us are tempted, and unfortunately, every one of us fall at some point in our walk with the Lord. But we have been changed. We have been changed, and by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, we have all we need to live lives of true righteousness and holiness before the Lord. When He saved us, He gave us every tool necessary in our toolbox to live this life. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the power of God in us. We have everything we need. So we need to put off the old man, and we need to put on the new man, and we need to have a renewed mind. So how are you doing in this area? How are you doing in this area? Can you honestly say that you are living a life that is different from the world around you? Can you honestly say that your life displays Jesus Christ to the world? One of the things that I struggle with today, and you've seen it, and I've seen it, you have people who call themselves born-again believers, and I'm not going to judge that, but some of the way that they are living their life is not a testimony to the new man that we are once we become a child of God. And it's almost like they want to just tiptoe to the borderline. They don't think they're in the world, but boy, they're awful close to the world. As believers, we're not to tiptoe right up to the line and push the envelope to see how close we can get to the world. We're not to be of the world. We're not to be like the world. We're to be different. That's why Jesus, he tells us that we are to walk in a way that is worthy to our calling. If we're walking like the world, that's not a way walking worthy to our calling. That's not how he has called us to live our lives. So how are you doing in this area? Is your life being displayed as a new man, as a new woman to this world who is so far from God? If not, you need help with your mind. And the place to come is to the Lord. If you need help putting off the old man and putting on the new man, the place to come is to the Lord. If you are struggling with some of the things that you have in your life that you're thinking, you know what, that little sin is not really doing anything, you know what? Yes, it is. It's going to destroy you. You need to get it taken care of. You need to come to the Lord, and He will help you with that. If you've come this morning and you're lost and trapped in the deadness and darkness and depravity of your sins, the place to come is to the Lord. You need to come to the Lord, and He will put new life in you, and He will save you from that sin, and He will give you new life. So how are we doing? Paul tells us, okay, you lived like the world once before you were saved. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to what you used to be. Be the new man or the new woman that God has intended you to be. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the words in this passage. And Lord, just the challenge that this is to me, and I'm sure to others this morning. Lord, when we are tempted by the enemy, sometimes it looks like, it wouldn't be a big deal to just go back to what we were. But Lord, help us to see that we don't need to go back to that slavery that we came from. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us as, Lord, if there's some this morning that are struggling with something that they haven't put on the new man. They're still dealing with the old sinful nature, Lord. I just pray that you would just be with them this morning. That, Lord, that they would have a renewed mind. And Lord, that you would give them the strength that they need to walk in a way that is worthy of their calling, in a way in which they have been called. Father, I pray that you would just work on our hearts today. For we ask this in your name, I pray. Amen. Stand with me if you would. And